Welcome to the UTG podcast. I'm Stephen Grant, and we're concluding our consideration of wisdom from the book of Proverbs in the Bible. And we want to, as a final consideration, think about the subject of pride. This subject is extensively dealt with in Proverbs and indeed elsewhere in the Bible. Let me just quote Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 down to 19, which is one of the central sections in Proverbs dealing with this subject. "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." These six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. It's interesting. That's very strong language. And the first to be mentioned is a proud look. This arrogance that is so characteristic of our human nature is spoken of in this way. It is one of the things that is the first thing in the list that the Lord hates and is an abomination to him. There's another verse in Proverbs 16 and verse 5 that complements that and says that everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished. This idea of pride and arrogance speaks to someone who really thinks that other people are lesser than themselves, perhaps even essentially worthless. And as a consequence of that view, then their perception and their measure of their own worth is inflated, puffed up, if you like, with an inaccurate sense of value and therefore of pride. And these verses in Proverbs say that the Lord hates that. In fact, it's an abomination to him. And that word hate is an unpleasant word. It's probably a word that we would try and encourage our children, for example, to avoid using frequently. When we experience hatred, it usually means that we loathe certain things. We may seek to avoid them, or we may seek to even destroy them. Now just imagine that in the heart of God, intensified, multiplied countless times. And we can see righteous, pure, unmitigated disgust and revulsion. All of that is in the idea of the Lord hating a proud look. It's an abomination. That's the second word. And for something to be an abomination, the idea is that it is a stench to his nostrils. It's repulsive and putrid in his sight. So that is strong language speaking about this subject of pride, arrogance. We need be under no illusion that a proud look, a proud heart, an arrogant attitude is something that God has a strong aversion to. In fact, the aversion goes beyond that, for in James chapter 4 and verse 6 it says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So it's not that God has an attitude toward someone who is proud and his actions remain neutral, but rather he is in open opposition to pride and to the actions and character and person of someone who is proud. He is opposed. He wages war, if you like. He thwarts people who are proud. Well, what about this pride? It's really, I think, the reason it's the number one in the list is that it's like the soil in which all manner of other sins germinate and grow. Let me just give you some verses from Proverbs to speak to that. Proverbs 16 verses 18 to 19 says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It's better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. Again, Proverbs 18 verse 12 says this: before destruction. A man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honour. Lastly, Proverbs 21 verse 4. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked are sin. And the idea is this, that it is through an arrogant and proud perspective that someone makes evaluations and assessments, their worldview, if you like. It's the light or by which they see all of life. It's the lens through which they look, to put it that way. And everything gains perspective for a proud person as a consequence of their pride. And so that taints everything and is at the bottom of most sin. For example, envy. If you think about envy, that resentment that you feel towards someone because they've experienced something or they've had or possess something and you want it and you don't want them to have it, and you dig down into envy, and it's because you basically consider yourself more worthy and more deserving of that experience or that article or possession. And so you have this stirring in you. But that stirring is built upon the basis of your evaluation of them and your evaluation of yourself. You consider them to be less than you. It's the basis of pride. Think about strife, usually flowing out of a sort of desire or competitive desire even to have power and authority over others and praise from others. And strife, again, where does that desire come from? It comes from pride. It comes from your assessment of yourself and your assessment of others. Think about hypocrisy, pretending to be something you aren't. Perhaps because you're afraid of being seen and known for what you really are. Pride is the reason. One writer said this, pride is the reason why we won't say I'm sorry, please forgive me. Pride is the reason when you get into debt to keep up appearances. Pride is the reason some parents push their children in education beyond their ability. Pride is the reason why we don't witness as Christians in the workplace. Pride is the reason why we refuse to submit to the authority of the Word of God. Pride is the reason for many sins. Listen to what Proverbs 26 verse 12 says of pride and of the fool. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Why is that? Because pride will put you, will put me, beyond the perceived need for instruction. That valuation, that worldview, where I am worth more, I am better, I am more than another individual, mean that I don't need instruction and encouragement from others, and I'm certainly not going to take them from you. Who, after all, are you to tell me what to do or what not to do? Pride tells me that I'm better than you, I am more than you, I do better than you, so I'm not going to take instruction from anyone. Certainly not if I'm proud. And the proud heart seems to be hard and impervious to rebuke and also consequently insensitive to conviction or correction. Well, what's the answer to pride? 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says an interesting thing. For what do you have that you did not receive? This is Paul writing to the Christians in Corinth who were very proud. If ye then received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Paul is reminding them of God's sovereign intervention in their life, God's sovereign actions. And that really is an antidote to pride. To know that all that we have and are comes from God, that we have no, we have no claim upon any praise or We cannot claim to deserve anything that we are or have. It's all of God's grace. And pride says, actually, I'm going to take credit for all that I am. I'm going to take credit for all that I have. Pride is, in that sense, theft. You're robbing God of what he deserves from us as a result of what he has done in us. Taking the credit, if you like, for all of God's grace. And the answer to that is a proper appreciation of grace as a proper value assessment and system whereby we understand this, that we are all on the same ground, level ground, if you like. We've all been recipients of God's grace. Therefore, we've got nothing to be proud about. You may have skills, you may have abilities, you may have opportunities in life. You may have done great things in life. You may be better than others in different categories of life. But when you trace back how that is so, you'll find this, that it ends up at God. Who gave you the abilities? Who gave you the opportunities? Who so ordered your life circumstances? Why were you born into that family, into that society, into that period of time where opportunity has come your way? It's all of God. And it is an antidote to pride. When we lose that perspective, that's when pride comes in. You know, one of the great consequences of pride is anger, is temper. And that temper, that anger, often is a evidence of pride. Proverbs 29 verse 11 says, a fool gives vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. That doesn't mean that a wise man never expresses his opinion, but his response is measured, thoughtful, constructive, and careful. A fool just gives vent to his spirit. And if his spirit is a prideful spirit, that often displays itself in temper, aggression, which is a kind of expression of superiority and frustration sometimes that that superiority has not been recognized. That, by the way, is why it says in Titus chapter 1 that an elder, an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered. The two go together. And so to be slow to anger, to be marked by restraint and self-restraint, is a marker of maturity and an evidence that pride is being dealt with. And so when you think about this idea of pride, what a self-check it is for all of us. So often we slip into this. We adopt a valuation of other people and of ourselves that is not biblical. We see ourselves as being what we're actually not. And we fail to properly think of ourselves as we actually are. And what are we? Sinners saved by grace. Our health, any wealth we have, our family relationships, our work context, our abilities, whether they be academic, whether they be musical, whether they be the fact that you can work with your hands and build and create things and do things, whatever it is, your friend group, you trace them all back and you discover this, that it's all of God's grace. And an appreciation and a contemplation of that will be the antidote to pride. You think of the two men that went up to the temple to pray as told by the Lord Jesus. And one was marked by pride. He was arrogant. And he had an inflated view of his own self-righteousness. And he had a disregard and a contempt for the publican who he considered less than himself. And little did he know that the publican was characterized by humility and a correct assessment of his own worth before God and his own value and his own situation before God, who he was essentially, a sinner. And the Pharisee, well, he never got to that point because his pride was such that he could never bring himself down to that level. He considered that he had done enough and was enough to be better than other people. So when we think about pride, when we think about the problem of arrogance and the expression of it often in temper, it is good just to stop for a minute or two and consider the scriptures that teach us to focus on God's grace and focus properly on the true source of any blessings that we have and humble ourselves, remembering the words of James 4 verse 6, that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. I'm Stephen Grant and I've enjoyed these podcasts as we've been looking through some issues that and some subjects that the Book of Proverbs bring to us, and trust that they might have at the very least stirred up a bit of interest and perhaps even cause you to look back into the Book of Proverbs yourself. Thanks for listening.